we are part of a great civilization and human race-wide work of justice. And that work started before us. We are all called to take it up in some deeply personal way, and quite likely it will continue after us.
That's Darren Kennedy, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Darren Kennedy is directing the Theatre Lawrence production of The Mountaintop. The play opens on January 30th and runs through February the 8th. Darren, welcome to Conversations.
Hey, thanks for having me.
The Mountaintop is a play that not everyone may be familiar with, so tell us about this play.
Yes. So The Mountaintop is a play by Katori Hall. It is a piece that imagines the events of April 1968, the last night of Martin Luther King Jr.'s life in the Lorraine Motel. He has just come back from the speech that we now know as I've been to the mountaintop. He's exhausted. He comes into the room. He orders some room service, a cup of coffee to kind of regenerate himself and get himself ready for the actual planned speech that he has the next day. And a young maid appears at the door with his coffee. And that young maid is not all that she appears to be. And it's about the encounter that happens between the two of them that night.
So I understand, as part of your background research for this play, that you and your cast and the stage manager all took a trip to Memphis. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was absolutely transformative, Dan. So to provide a little bit more background about the play and the events it's depicting, sometimes people forget that what Dr. King was doing in Memphis in April 1968 was to support the sanitation workers' strike that had been going on for about 2 months. That strike had been touched off by the tragic deaths of two Black sanitation workers in the back of a garbage truck in February of that year. And many of those sanitation workers, their families, their fellow community members who were part of Black Memphis really began to organize and march around the lack of opportunities, the poor pay, unsafe conditions. And there was actually a great deal of not only organizing, but also violence. And we can, for people who remember it or have seen the pictures, these are the famous and iconic I Am a Man placards that were part of that march. The cast, when we were doing work on the script and kind of getting into the history of the time, I had them listen to the entirety of the Mountaintop speech, which is about 40 minutes long. Truly is kind of a sermon. And by the way, a sermon that he delivered without notes, impromptu. But when they were talking about it, they said, gosh, it really would be amazing if we could go to Memphis. And then at our next rehearsal, our cast members had drawn up a proposal to present to Theatre Lawrence to sponsor us to go to Memphis. And Theatre Lawrence, Jamie Ulmer, as executive director, and the other board members actually were very enthusiastic and very energized by the idea. And so that is exactly what we did. And we went around to really kind of get a sense of the city of Memphis as a character, its history in that time, and the places that were informing not only, yes, what Martin Luther King Jr. himself experienced, but that other character in the play, Kameh. I always argue that this is a play with two protagonists, right? And that young woman, that maid, Kameh, she is very much of Memphis. And you have to understand the culture and the history and the ways that the working class members of the Black community were existing in that time to really breathe life into this piece. And so that's what we did.
Now, this play is fictional, but what do you think it has to say about Martin Luther King Jr.?
I think the thing that Katori really is working to do is to get us to think about Martin Luther King Jr. as a human being. You know, this is a man who, we know from the historical record, did suffer from panic attacks, had great, yes, vision, but also amazing anxiety, and had flaws, right? And I think what has happened over time that Katori is concerned about is the iconography that has developed around Dr. King. And what can be dangerous about that is when you deify someone who you also wish to sort of emulate or follow as an example, it can make it feel like it's impossible to live up to those standards. When in point of fact, when we acknowledge someone's humanity, when we acknowledge the things that scare them, that pull out fear within them, that make them imperfect, then that also brings them a little bit closer to us in that imperfection. And that means that our imperfections might also, like that person, be a gateway to greatness if we can work to overcome them in the same way. And so this is a king who is anxious about the future. This is a king who is angry. This is a king who is weary from his work. This is a king who is trying to stay safe from distractions, who is being surveilled by the FBI. And I don't name that as a flaw within him, but to think about the very real, oh gosh, the real hurdles and realities of his life. And those are the things that I think sometimes get glossed over, particularly this time of year as we're thinking about his legacy, that this play and the power of theater and physical embodiment can remind us about.
Well, there are just two actors that embody those characters. What can you tell us about them?
Yes. So Hime Kamatuka, who's playing Kamei, the maid, and Tyson Williams, who's playing Dr. King, are so dedicated. They are, again, as I said, you know, the trip to Memphis really was their brainchild. And I raise that because it was a sign of how much they really want this piece to reach out to the community, how much they really want it to kind of come leaping off the stage. And what I find, what has been so joyful in every rehearsal that we've had is, one, how much they are connecting to each other. These are two actors who did not know each other before the show. But their lives have actually been sort of running in parallel. They have some schools in common. But what's been so amazing is to see how copacetic their artistic strategies and processes are. Both of them are community members. Hime is an administrator with the School of Journalism at KU. Tyson is someone who, his family owns a funeral home here in Lawrence and in Topeka, but also, and so he is CEO of that organization, but also Tyson is a writer, performer, and director in his own right. And so it's been great to see them not only discover their own connections to the broader Lawrence community, but also to see how much they actually match up in how they approach the text, their perfectionism at times, and their ability to kind of laugh. There are funny moments and joyful moments in this piece. And I have really enjoyed seeing them get to discover those as well and discover them in tandem.
I imagine this play with just two actors will feel like a very intimate experience for the audience.
Very much so. You know, I was just talking with James Deemer, who is the tech director at Theater Lawrence and is also the designer for set and lights for the piece. And he and I are both talking about the evolution of how we talked about this, the set and the environment, the physical environment for the play. Theater Lawrence is a thrust stage, which I think is built to create intimate experiences. And because of that, James and I really brought the action really downstage as far as we could so that it's right in front of, next to, touching the audience members, because those hotel rooms at the Lorraine Motel, like most motels of its time, are not very large, right? They're meant to be spaces where someone can rest in comfort, yes. And they were places where Dr. King was strategizing for how he would engage the march and his engagement with the strike. So to give someone that sense of how that night might have gone, it was really important to honor, as you point out, this is a two-character piece that is intimate, that where we really get to feel the changes in the temperature of someone's emotional and psychological responses to these really big, weighty questions and events that are turning the world and turning America upside down, but that people are confronting in very personal ways. And so it's a big lift for these actors, right? It's them on stage for about 100 minutes, moving around sometimes briskly and sometimes very with stillness. It's a workout.
You mentioned about sort of the transformative experience this has been for you and for your cast. I'm wondering what you hope the audience will take away after seeing this play, what they will think about after seeing this presentation.
You know, if we accomplish our goal, as I said, of humanizing Dr. King, what I will say is, you know, as I pointed out, I think there are two protagonists. And I think what you can, what I would love an audience to take away from both Martin's story and the story of Kameh that gets revealed is that we are part of a great civilization and human race wide work of justice. And that work started before us. We are all called to take it up in some deeply personal way. And quite likely, it will continue after us. And in this brief stretch of time where we are on this plane and alive, we have a certain power and calling to respond to the injustices of our time and to respond to the needs of the people that we share this existence with, to enrich their lives by also following our own larger purpose. And it can feel difficult to discover that purpose. And we can make mistakes while pursuing that purpose, but we all have it. And we're all called to. And that's one of the things that I really hope that any audience member takes away from this.
And we should note that this play deals with adult themes. So what should the audience be aware of before coming to the performance? And for what age would you recommend the play?
Yeah, there are some very real discussions of violence within the movement. There are some frank depictions of, in some cases, sex work and a few other aspects of life at that point in time. And so we are recommending the piece for ages 14 and up.
Darren, when are the performance dates and how can people get tickets?
Yes. So people can get tickets at theodorelawrence.com. We open on January 30th and run through February 8th. Yes, those are the best ways to get your tickets. You can also follow Theodore Lawrence on Facebook, and that's where you can find out information and some marketing campaigns we have that really show you information about the trip to Memphis as well. So you can get sort of the full experience.
Darren Kennedy is directing the Theodore Lawrence production of The Mountaintop. The play opens on January 30th and runs through February the 8th. And again, for tickets and more information, visit theodorelawrence.com. And that's theater with an R-E. Darren, thank you for talking with me today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.